If you are using flashcards to teach high frequency words, or you have a list of over like 500 words that your child must master, please stop. We are not going to be using flashcards in the way that you think when you have a flashcard and you're like, what's this word? And they're saying the, what's this word? The. We are not going to do it that way, because what you are asking your child to do is actually memorize a shape, and memorizing a bunch of words with those shapes is going to be really, really hard, and there is a more effective way to do it. So I'm going to show you how I teach high frequency words and how I went from like 5% of my students knowing their high frequency words to 95% of them knowing them reading and spelling. I use the 107 Zeno word list. And the reason I use this list is because, one, there's only 107 of them, and they comprise 50% of all written text. So if they can get these 107 solid with automaticity in reading and in spelling, they are going to have higher reading fluency scores. And I know that because I experienced it as a first grade teacher. Once my students had these down, their reading fluency increased. So I created these sheets to really help teach and review high frequency words. It's quick, it's easy, and it's effective. So let's get into how you're actually going to teach these. Now, some of the words within the packet are decodable, which means that they have a phonic spelling pattern that they follow. So if your child has not yet learned digraphs, open syllables or closed syllables, vowel teams and diphthongs, and all of these different patterns, or even how to read multisyllabic words, consonant LE, if they have not learned these skills yet, you could make it a heart word until they learn those phonetic patterns. And so a lot of these, what I did is I just went in, and the ones that are truly irregular, I put a heart over the irregular parts. But like I said, you could add hearts, like if they haven't, you know, for example, if they have the word water, right? And they haven't learned ER yet, or the R controlled vowels, you could make that a heart word. So I just want you to know as well that you can make any part that your child doesn't quite know, or you can make it a learning experience and you could teach them, and you could say that every single time you see, you know, ER, it's going to say er, right? So we're going to talk about how I use these pages to teach and review these words. I place the target word in the corner of every single one of the papers, but before you start, I want you to cover that word, just because if they can see it, they're just going to copy it. And we're not just copying, because copying does not help your child to remember these words. So you want to cover that in the corner. It's just there for you so that you have the, oh yeah, this is the word that we're working on today. But I would cover it, and then you can uncover it at the end. So the first thing I have them do is say the word. They're going to say the. What's the word? It's the. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to tap the sound. So for example, if I have the word the, right? So I have two sounds. So now you could use, they could color in each square or circle for the tap it part. They could put blocks in there, however you want to do that. And then we're going to map the sounds. Now, when you are mapping sounds, each box represents a sound, not a letter. So if we are doing the word the, we have the, we only have two sounds. TH is two letters, but it makes one sound, right? So I'm going to put TH in one box because, again, represents sounds, not letters. So I would put the TH in one. If your child didn't know what TH was, you could have a heart, or you could just have a quick conversation with them and tell them that TH is always going to say th. There is another sound that it says, but mostly it's going to say th at the beginning. And then you're going to have the sound. And if you are from Utah like me, we say the instead of the, even though it's an open syllable. And so you would place a heart over that irregular sound, because E generally does not say but if you have a different dialect and you say the, then you do not have to place that heart there. So now we've mapped the letters that are corresponding to those sounds. The next thing they're going to do is they're going to write it over and over again and then read it after they've wrote it. Now, when I have my students write it, I actually have them say the letters that represent it. So they might say T-H-E, the. T-H-E, the, T-H-E, the. You could also have them sound it if you wanted to do that instead. You could say th, and then they have to do the, the, right, as they're writing. So kind of how you want to do it based on your child's needs. And then they're going to read it. And this is important because I always made my students read the word after they wrote it, because a lot of the time, if it is a regular word that doesn't have, an irregular spelling, they might spell it incorrectly. But if they read it after they've written it, they recognize what they got incorrect. So we're going to read it, the. Then the very last one is going to be finding the word in a sentence. Now, you don't have to do this part if you don't want to, but I find that it is beneficial is that you provide them with a sentence so that it provides context. So you might say, the dog is hot or whatever. Can you think of a sentence using the word the? And this really makes them think about, okay, how would I use this word in context? Giving them an example and then having them think about it also provides another spot in their brain to put it into their word processing or working memory so that they can remember it for next time. And then after you've done that, I do have sentences at the very bottom, and they can highlight them, color them, underline them, whatever they want to do every single time that they find the word. And then afterward, I always read it with them and then have them do something every time they hear the word the. So you could have them point to it as you're reading, or you could just read it to them, and when they hear the word, they get to jump, or however you want to do that, make it fun for your child. But that is like the most important thing that we are doing, is that we are mapping the sounds. So we are thinking about what are the sounds in these words, and we're thinking about letters that correspond to make those sounds. If you are not doing that and all you're doing is flashcards, you are not going to be very successful. It's going to be very frustrating for your child. If you have a child and you're like, no, I did sight words and they were just fine, that is of the minority, not the majority. So if we are doing it like this, it is going to be, they're going to get it quicker and easier. And this is a brain friendly way that's backed by research to do high frequency words. Now, one thing I do want to mention is if you do have multisyllabic words, for example, the word because has multiple syllables, I would suggest that you break it into syllables first and then break up the sounds in the syllables. So let me explain what I mean. If I have the word be, cause, it has two syllables, right? So I would have be and cause. And you could, on the tap it part, you could literally have them do like circle, you know, color it in for each syllable. And then below those circles, do how many sounds are in each one. So if I had because, be, cause, I have two syllables. And then let's talk about the first syllable, how many sounds, okay? B, E, I have two individual sounds in the word be. And then cause, k, ah, z, right? Because. So now I have three sounds. So then from there, again, on that bottom part, when you're mapping the sounds, it would be b, e, k, ah, z. The reason I say that you want to break it into syllables, kids get lost when there's that many sounds. So break it into syllables, then break it into sounds. And remember, for the boxes, it is a box for every sound. So for example, in because, that E at the very end is going to go with the S because it is not making a sound. So it's going to go with the S because that is, it's changing that S sound. Okay. It's changing it to that Z sound. So make sure that we're really thinking about these words and how can we make it easier to help them to remember it. Now, within my packet, I also have high frequency word mats, which is going to give you a more multi-sensory activity or approach to review the letters. So I would personally use these pages to review as well and to teach just because it has them spell it. But I have the same thing on these boards. The only difference is that they get to build it with Play-Doh or blocks. Maybe they get to use sandpaper and they get to write it on the sandpaper. Or maybe they write it in sand or flour. They get to rainbow write it. Now, when we are looking at a rainbow write, generally people will write a letter with a different color every single time. So like, for example, if we had the word the, you would do like, you know, the T yellow, the H red, and the E blue. We're not going to do that. We are going to rainbow write with the sounds. So, two sounds, The T and the H have to be the same color because they are the same. There's one sound. So TH would have to be, I don't know, let's say they want to do red, and then E would be blue. So that we're really, again, emphasizing that it's more about the patterns and the sounds that they make and not just like individual letters, because it's really hard for them to get into that mindset. The next thing that I have are fluency pages. Now, this is important just to get them reading them frequently, right? So we want them to be able to spell them because that's an important piece. But we also want them to read it with automaticity, which means that they're reading the word within 3 seconds. So with the fluency pages, I've broken it up into 3 different sections. I've done 1 through 25, 1 through 65, and 1 through 107. So it has all of them. I would suggest that you start, when you're doing this, start with like 5 high frequency words and work through those until they have them mastered. Go to the next 5, the next 5, the next 5. And then once you are with that whole 25, you could just get that page out and be like, you know what? We worked on the, of, and, to, and a. I've taught it all once. Let's just see what we can do with reading them and have them read it. Obviously, you're going to have to teach these words again and again. I taught all 65 is all I had to teach in first grade, but I would teach all 65 like 4 times in a year. So we were constantly relearning those, and like we were constantly doing fluency pages in small groups every single day. I'd pull out their fluency page and they had to read it every single day. But then when I would reteach, we would have to spell them and read them every single time. So it's really important that we are seeing them frequently and reading them. They're sounding out or they are taking a long time. That is a word that they have not yet mastered. If they're like the, of, and then they just sit there for a second and they're like two, that one's not mastered. And you could use these to kind of keep track of that as well, so that you know which words you may need to come back to more frequently to make sure that they have them mastered. So now we're going to get to the flashcards. Okay. If you are using flashcards, you can totally use them in the old fashioned way that you want to. If you want to do that, as long as you are teaching them the way I started in the beginning, where we are tapping the sounds and writing the letters that correspond to those sounds and giving it context. If you're doing all those amazing things and then using flashcards, you can totally do that. I don't think that that's a problem. You just don't want to use it as your only source of how to teach these words. But within my packet, I give you a lot of games that you can use with these high frequency words. So for example, I could cut these flashcards out and I could have, you know, maybe the 5 that they're learning throughout the house. Maybe I have it on, you know, the back door, the front door. Maybe I have it on the bedroom door, the fridge, the pantry, wherever you want to place them. And every single time that they see this word, they have to high five it. They have to sound out the sounds, the, and read it. You could even say, okay, if you saw the word, tell me a sentence in that word, however you want to do it, however much time you have. But it's just seeing this word over and over again and spelling it, sounding it out, all of those things is going to help them to find success. So I give you a bunch of ideas in there. If you are interested in this packet, I do have it on my website at k3homeschoolfoundations.com, or you can go down to the description below and you can get it there as well. If you thought that this video was super helpful, please give it a like, share it to someone else, and also subscribe to my channel, because most of my viewers are not subscribed, and subscribing helps my videos get out to other people like you so that I can help my audience to teach their child to read and write in the most effective and brain-friendly way. But I hope that you found this helpful, and we will see you next time.